Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Yeah, we got kids running all over the place. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, if you have not heard about Rock Hill's homeless court, you're going to hear about it today, because we have the judge who brought this to Rock Hill. Her name is Jane Modlett. She's going to be with us today, along with city solicitor. Well, I'm just going to save that to last. Chisholm Putnam, she's going to be with us as well. So, as we always do, let us get started with some introductions. Let's go with you, Judge. Tell everybody a little bit about you, if you would.
So my name's Jane Pittman Modla. I'm from Rockingham, North Carolina.
You don't have to get that close to it. You're fine.
All right. Thank you. I went to law school at Carolina in Columbia, and that's where I met Jake, my husband. We have three girls. One just graduated from law school there.
Oh, boy.
The others are working in Charlotte. And I have been the city judge for 25 years.
25 years?
Yeah.
Well, you look great. I would have thought after 25 years of being on the bench, you would have won.
Thank you.
Well, great. Thank you for being here today. Chisholm Putnam, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank
you. Get a little closer to the microphone, if you would. All right. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I'm Chisholm Putnam, senior solicitor. I've been back with the city for about 5 years now, and I'm originally from Cowpens.
Cowpens? Whoa. So where'd you go to law school? Second class. Okay. All right. So we got the table all set here. Let's talk a little bit about what the heck this homeless court is. Judge, you started this.
Well, I didn't invent it.
I know you don't.
Yeah. So homeless court, we like to advertise homeless court as a court for anybody who is living on the street, homeless or about to be homeless or has recently been homeless, that has a legal problem that we may be able to help them with getting off the street, getting a job, getting housing. A lot of the homeless are committing misdemeanor crimes for the mere fact that they live on the street in the first place, trespassing, public disorderly conduct, camping, solicitation. And one thing that the homeless court can do that I actually have authority from the Supreme Court to do is to take their convictions and get them off their record. A lot of times these convictions keep you from getting homes. And if there are misdemeanors that are not violent crimes and not a DUI, then we can open those cases, erase them off their record. If there are fines that are owed, we can waive the fines. If there are bench warrants, we can lift the bench warrants and expunge those misdemeanors off their criminal history.
So what are you looking for? This is for the solicitors, and she's bringing the charges. What are you looking for from this homeless person as far as an indication that this is a good move to make?
We're looking for a recommendation from the provider. So they're seeking some type of service from one of the service providers. We partner with Catawba Mental Health.
Keystone.
Keystone,
the homeless shelters,
but they have a recommendation or referral from one of the service providers, and they're feeling that they're making some type of effort, and that plus their recommendation plus their effort, will the public defender will make a recommendation, and if they show that they're making progress, then we'll allow them into homeless court, and we'll continue to work with them until they complete their program, whatever recommended program that they have for them.
So are you taking solely the recommendation of the third party, or do you want to talk to them yourself?
We take the recommendation of the third party because they are represented. They have a public defender.
Okay.
If any other case, if they're represented by counsel, we can't speak with them, but they speak with a public defender service provider. So the public defender is working with the service provider and the defendant.
Okay.
So it's a voluntary program that they are volunteering to seek help, and they're seeking help in the shelter or at Keystone or Catawba Mental Health or somewhere, and that service provider has to apply to the program on their behalf.
Now, I'm just curious, the service provider, I mean, how long would they, have to be working with this person to feel comfortable to take them through this process before homeless court?
Well, that's up to them. That's their program. If they let somebody in, say, Bethel Men's Shelter, for example.
Sure.
They've got service providers, social workers that work with them to try to help them with whatever it is that's keeping them on the street, keeping them from getting housing. Most people have jobs of some sort, but they're working with them, and whatever they require, if they are following their guidelines, then they come to us and we listen to them.
So I guess the big question is,
it's not a PTI program. We're not, it's not a pretrial intervention program. It's after the fact.
Gotcha. So is there, I think we're having some kind of a technical issue here, so we're going to go ahead and take a break because I hear all these people around. Let's go ahead and do that now. Remind you, you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot, definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
At Piedmont Medical Center, we have the expertise to treat the conditions that cause back pain, and we're focused on delivering compassionate care to help you live life pain-free. In fact, Piedmont Medical Center is designated a Blue Distinction Center for Spine Surgery by Blue Cross Blue Shield for our commitment to quality care and comprehensive spine surgery services. And by the way, Piedmont offers robotic spine surgery, an innovative surgical option that assists the spine surgeon and care team throughout the surgery. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
I love their fresh meats and the sweet wheat bread.
The bread, their quality meats, and their prices.
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Two ladies around the table who are involved with the Rock Hill Homeless Court, Judge Jane Modla, who brought it here 2 years ago. And we also have Chisholm Putnam, who is the city solicitor, and she makes sure that before the judge sees these people, that they have gone through whatever due diligence they have to go through with the third party. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. We're like the gatekeepers. Yes, sir.
You are the gatekeeper.
Yes, sir.
So, I know I'm being suspicious here, but just because the third party says this person's wonderful, you don't interface with them at all. You just put them before the judge.
Well, we received their criminal history prior to as well. So we review their criminal history. We review the packet, which is the information that the service provider gives us beforehand. So we review information on the party before we agree to allow them in. So we ask questions of the service provider and of the public defender.
Okay.
It's not that we just see their names like, oh, okay, you're going to get in.
So
we ask questions before.
So have you ever turned one down?
Well, you want some statistics?
Hold on, Judge. Hold on. You're out of order.
We ask questions before, and not necessarily turned down, but we inquired as to whether or not this person would be a good candidate. And maybe once the public defender speaks with the service provider and provides us additional information, we bring it before the court. Then the court weighs in on it and gives their opinion as well, and will allow the individual to go ahead and enter the program.
The bench now recognizes the judge.
Thank you, Judge. All right, so we've had, in 2 years, in 24 months, we had 90 applications. We accepted 57. We didn't accept 24. I don't know. I hope these calculate. We referred 29. And we say referred, there's something that they've got a legal issue that we can't help with, but we can send them to South Carolina Legal Services, or to, they come to our homeless court every month and help us. And so there's some people with rap sheets that are really, really old that have charges on there that I can't get rid of, but they may be able to get expunged through the circuit solicitor's office. And South Carolina Legal Services will do that, help them with that.
So, Judge, what is your recidivism rate?
We don't have any recidivism.
No?
No, because these are not new charges, Manny. This is somebody with a criminal history. It's old stuff.
Let me use another terminology. 57 people have been accepted.
Yeah.
All right. Have you seen any of those 57 come back for a second try down the road because they got themselves back into problems?
Not yet. And we had 26 graduates. Of the 57, yes.
Which means what? Graduate.
Which means they completed our homeless court. They completed their program, that whatever they were working on, drug addiction or alcohol addiction or getting jobs or getting education or whatever they're supposed to be doing with their service provider. Mental health helps us out too. And they're no longer coming to homeless court. And at that stage, they can get their misdemeanor charges expunged off their record, and the goal with them getting housing.
Okay, let's just step back here. So if you think that this is a good candidate and you say, okay, we're going to go through what we can do at homeless court, there's a program they have to go through to they have to graduate from that program to have these charges dropped off?
Yes. So the program is the program that the service provider requires of them. And a lot of times, if they don't follow the program, they're kicked out. Like at the Haven, if they're not following the strict guidelines, they're kicked out. If they're kicked out of there, they're probably going to get kicked out of homeless court.
Sure. And the Haven's a perfect example of how well a system works, because they have a 93% success rate.
Yes.
In placing men through their program into jobs and getting them, you know, with a roof over their head.
Yeah, so Nancy does a great job, and Shirley Mills worked with her and comes to court, and they bring their candidates to homeless court, yes.
Shoo. So how does this homeless court make life easier for you at the city solicitor's office, or does it?
I don't know if it makes it easier for me. It's just the point that we're able to help the community. It's our way of helping. We run into a good bit of individuals who or experience in homelessness, and this is our way of trying to assist those individuals. We've had several individuals who have actually been able to obtain housing because they've completed the program. We handle bench court and we handle trials, and there are times when we come across individuals who may have had a trespassing, may have had a shoplifting, and we can tell them, we have this program that may be able to assist you with your situation, and we actually make the referral to homeless court.
That's interesting.
Yes, sir.
So what's the reaction of the people who actually have gotten into trouble and have gone through this process? I mean, is it like a great big smile on their face at all?
Oh, yes. It's what Chisa calls happy court.
It's our happy court. That is, because when they see us on the other side, when they see us in regular court, I call it, they're not too pleased to see us. Nobody's usually happy to see my team there. But when they see us in happy court or in homeless court,
so
everybody's
when I start
happy
court,
to see us.
I'm sorry. When I start court, I announce, okay, this is homeless court. It is a real court. I am wearing my black robe, but we are at Pathways. We come to you, and today nobody's going to be convicted of anything. Nobody is going to jail. Nobody's going to have to pay a fine. In fact, we do just the opposite. If you do what you're supposed to be doing, if you are helping yourself get off the street, then and you do what you're supposed to be doing, then whatever legal problem you've got that's keeping you on the street, if it's a legal problem, that's why you're in homeless court, then we're going to help you with that. If you've got misdemeanor criminal charges, we're going to get rid of those for you. If you've got other issues, if you need a driving license, if you need disability, if you need a lawyer because of eviction issues, if you need some old drug case, like marijuana used to be a felony, it's not anymore, you can get that expunged. If you need that, we're going to send you to South Carolina Legal Services where they'll help you. We can't help you. We're going to send you where you can get some help, hopefully. And if you help yourself, then...
So it is, I mean, happy court makes a lot of sense.
Yes, sir.
You can walk out of there and basically know that your record has been expunged. Is that the right
some
term?
Some of it, yeah.
Some of it.
Expunge is the right term.
Enough of it so that you might be able to get yourself a job.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. And try to get your life back on track. Well, I think it's, I mean, it's encouraging that, now you say you've had 90 applicants in 2 years.
Yeah.
All right. Is that about what you thought it would be, or is that a little less than what you thought it would be?
No, that's about what I thought it would. Down in Columbia, where I learned about this program, they told me you never want more than about 5 or 6 on your docket at any one time, and that's once a month. And the applicants, that's applicants. The only 57 were accepted. So,
right.
You know.
But you had 90 applicants, or 90,
yeah,
whatever
yeah,
the number is, 90.
Yeah.
I guess I'm surprised that it's not 190, because I think the homeless problem is more prevalent here in our community than it was just a year ago.
That, yeah, it's true, but there are many that are not living in the shelters. These are the homeless that are living in the shelters that are trying to get help, trying to help themselves get out of their situation.
And that's the big differential. I mean, I know Pathways. You got to walk through those doors of Pathways,
yeah,
to say, I need help.
Yeah, you do. And that's what you have to do to be in homeless court.
Right. And a lot of people who are homeless, they don't want to mess with it. They're chronically ill or whatever it is, and they just would rather live on the streets and not fool around with trying to get back on their feet.
Well, I don't think anybody grew up saying, what do you want to do when you grow up?
That's,
I want,
right,
to be a hobo. I don't believe that's the case. But, yeah, you're right. Some, like I've been told, Judge, I don't want to go in that shelter. It's dirty. Well, that sounds like a mental illness, right?
Sure.
OCD or something. But,
you know, if I could put a bunch of homeless people around this table, I think we would be shocked at the stories about what caused them to get into this situation.
Yeah.
I've always maintained that every one of us, everybody in this restaurant, including us around this table, has got a little button inside of them that under the right circumstances can be pushed, and all of a sudden you go caca. Think about the loss of your home, the loss of a spouse. Think about these people in Texas
yeah,
who've lost their little children, these daughters. Can you imagine what their mommies and daddies are going through? They could very well be in this situation that we're talking about here. So,
but for the grace of God.
But for the grace of God. And it also reminds me, don't be too critical about what you see out there, because you never know what journey somebody else has been on.
Yes, sir.
And the reminder has been exactly what has happened this week down there in Texas. Woo, woo. All right, so where do we go with this thing? I mean, a homeless court is obviously a preferred path to get back on your feet. But it's not something you promote, is it? I mean, like...
Well, I have. I mean, we have. We, in a sense, like a couple of times we've gone to the Haven and we've gone to Bethel at dinner time to advertise, look, we've got some help here for you. And not only that, we have a rainy day fund, and South Pine Legal Services helps us. Well, they dispense it, but we got that available for them, for those who can't afford to pay for some of the expungements. There are some expungements that they can get off their records that have to be paid for.
Okay.
And so we have a rainy day fund for that.
And that rainy
day
fund comes from the generosity of the world?
No, the generosity of Big Pharma, Purdue Pharma, and that opioid settlement.
The billions that they had
the
to cough
billions
up.
They had to cough up, so it went to the states. And and the city, one of the women that worked for the city, Danny Sanders, works for Community Services. She got us that grant.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
It would probably be good to point out as well, these charges, we only have jurisdiction over the Rock Hill municipal charges. So if someone has a charge that's in Columbia or one of the other jurisdictions that we don't have jurisdiction over, we may be able to make contact with one of the solicitors or the public defender there. And if they have a homeless court, we may be able to refer that individual there. So they may be able to have their charge taken care of there as well.
So what happens with somebody who is homeless and they run into the sheriff's department with issues? Now,
they don't have a homeless court. The sheriff's department doesn't have a homeless court right now.
Right.
And there's not much we can do about their charges. I can't do anything about their charges at all. And I don't think legal services could do much about their charges.
So they basically would have to go to jail or do something.
Oh, they've already done their jail time. They've already paid their fine. This is stuff that's been on, that's on their record.
Okay, gotcha. I'm getting myself confused. All right. Wow.
It is confusing.
Well, you've made it very simple, I mean, for those that are in this predicament.
Yeah.
And I imagine the best form of advertising is word of mouth from those who have been through the system.
The best is the service providers at these shelters.
Ah.
All these shelters have people that actually work with the homeless. And they're the ones that say, you need to go to homeless court. We need to get you in homeless court.
So was the traction or the volume of homeless court, has that just kind of picked up as from, was the first year slow, the second year busier, or is it pretty much the same?
I would say it's maybe the opposite.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe it's not so easy, you know.
Well, what could they consider not easy?
Living in a shelter.
Ah.
Not drinking.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All the things you need to do to get straightened out by the provider.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, some of the drugs these days are just so powerful. And then the mental illness, staying on your medications and stuff. So.
Jeez.
Because they have to stick with that plan, whatever plan the service provider comes up with. But they are in agreement with that plan, but they have to stick with that plan in order to finish the program.
And I always wonder, you know, in these, you know, they're around people just like them, and they're with friends, and they make friends, and sometimes they make girlfriends and boyfriends. And I wonder sometimes if they graduate, if they get out of the homeless court and they find their own shelter, if they're not missing that camaraderie. I always think about that. I don't know. I've never talked to anybody about that.
So the object is to get them back on their feet, to get employment. But then you introduce this other thing about getting shelter, getting a place to live.
You need shelter first.
Okay, well, how are you addressing that, since shelter is so tough to get because of the cost?
Absolutely. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, as lawyers, the shelter part, that comes to the service providers. That is their job, their responsibility, and that's what they do so well. And the city helps with that, you know.
Well, I know we've got, yes, a number of different programs, but the fact of the matter is there is not enough rooftops to handle everything that's, you know, the demand out there.
And it's expensive. A lot of the people that are homeless have jobs.
Oh.
They just don't pay enough.
You know, and
they're priced out, yeah.
The sad part is you can go down to, let's go down to Lifehouse for women.
Yes,
right?
They participate.
They have... They're sleeping at night, women, professional women, who are teachers and have a job, and they cannot afford to pay $1,500 a month for an apartment or buy a home, all that kind of stuff. And they're not even in this program. They're not homeless. They're close to homeless.
Yeah, that's.
But I mean, it's a pretty big issue.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big issue.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So, from a legal standpoint, got two lawyers here, a lawyer and a judge. That makes you a lawyer, though, right? You are a lawyer. So, what else, I mean, from a legal standpoint, have you found over this couple of years that there's some things that are missing that need to be added to the code or taken away from the code?
Well, there are some things that make it very difficult to get housing. One specific thing is an eviction on your record. If you have been evicted before, you can't get that off.
What do you mean you can't get that off?
Well, that doesn't go away. It's not on your criminal history, but it's used against you when you apply for housing.
All right.
Wherever you go.
So the homeless court can't make that go away.
I can't make that go away.
That's going to be on your public record, and that's not within our jurisdiction.
The governor can't make that go away because the governor can pardon some of the crimes. And somebody not in homeless court, just an example, I know he's had 3 DUIs. And he got them. He's been sober for 10 years. He got them pardoned by the governor.
Right.
But the governor can't pardon an eviction, is my understanding.
Okay. So, Judge, you brought this here a couple of years ago. You said every time, it's not an original idea. I stole it from Columbia. So who has been contacting and talking to you all about homeless court in terms of we'd like to mirror what you're doing in our community?
Well, I had last year we did a symposium for Charlotte, Mecklenburg, for the DA up there, Spencer Merriweather, and his staff came down, and also Gastonia Page came down with his staff and some of the city employees. They had heard about homeless court, and they came down to learn about it, and we the guy that helped invent this out in California because the veterans were saying we have legal problems that are keeping us on the street. This was in the 80s. We had him involved. We had the attorneys down in Columbia that helped establish the homeless courts in South Carolina. And we had all our service providers there. So we had a nice symposium for them.
Are you shocked that Charlotte Mecklenburg doesn't have something like this? I mean, my God, they're 10 times the size of us.
Yeah, they are. But they got problems that we don't have. I mean, you know, everybody's got their own problems. But one of them is this, and this is what Merriweather told me. He said they can't exactly take our program and use it up there because they have decriminalized the misdemeanors in Charlotte. And I don't know if that's statewide or if it's just in Charlotte, but say if the homeless person gets arrested for
marijuana, panhandling.
Or you can go to
urinating in public.
Or go to San Francisco and steal $1,000 and nobody comes after you with the junk. I got it. So
it's a civil fine, and you can't enforce that.
So, other communities were telling me these things that will go on your record here, you can just go ahead and do them up there because nobody cares.
Nobody's going to know. Yes, there's no incentive.
How about from your perspective? Is there anything that you see that needs to be fixed on this?
I think it's going pretty well. I mean, if we can just get more people involved in it.
Well, hopefully these service agencies that you talk about will be out there to do that.
Yes, sir. And they're pulling the individuals in. It's just the buy-in from the individuals. I think that's the main part of it.
All right. Shiza Putnam, thank you very much. Judge Madla, thank you very much for all that you're doing for those who need help with the homeless court. And we'll be back here to recertify you 1 year from now. All right? Okay.
Thank you.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, we're going to see how smart these attorneys are. We prepare fresh subs and salads here at Substation 2. The magical way we do it is in the white letters, and you all know that we're going to bellow it out together when I say three. Are we all set now? Okay, one, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
You heard it right from the lawyer's mouths. Okay, see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.